This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. Around the corner from our office in beautiful downtown Oakland, California, is DeLauer's Newsstand. It has been there since 1907. For the people who live and work downtown, it is central to our existence.
Everyone goes there to buy drinks, lottery tickets, and occasionally even a newspaper.
163.
But about 8 months ago, it became clear that even though DeLauer's wants a bunch of people inside the store buying things, they don't want a bunch of people outside their store hanging out on the sidewalk. Here's how you can tell. DeLauer's started playing really loud classical music through a speaker outside. And although I still see a fair number of people hanging out in front of the place, the owner says it's not nearly as many as before.
Oh, big change. It was mess. They hung out outside and, you know, just they playing dice on the street outside the door. And it was crazy. But now it helps us a lot. I'm the owner of DeLauer's Newsstand. My name is Fasil Lama.
When you have classical music, people who are young and cool don't really hang out there. So that's a way to deter teenagers.
That is Selena Savage.
And I'm co-author of the research project about unpleasant design.
Playing classical music on loudspeakers is an example of what Selena calls unpleasant design.
Unpleasant design is something that works well at deterring certain behaviors and certain uses from particularly public spaces.
Along with her partner Gordon Savicic, Selena collects and catalogs unpleasant designs.
Unpleasant design was here since we started designing public space or since we started designing cities.
Unpleasant designs are meant to exert a kind of social control in public by targeting people who spend a lot of time in public spaces, especially the young and the homeless. And the designs often end up pushing these so-called undesirable people out of one space and into another.
Classical music is only one method for deterring these so-called undesirable people from public space.
Well, these studs may only be a few centimeters tall, but they've caused a big debate.
This is from a BBC News story from 2014. The reporter, Nick Beek, is pointing to a set of angry-looking spikes that were installed in the concrete floor of a small alcove by the entrance to an apartment building. The spikes are clearly meant to stop people from sitting or lying there.
Is this a legitimate way to prevent rough sleeping and possible antisocial behavior, or are they a symbol of a heartless approach to homelessness?
Psst, hey, do you want to know the answer? It's the second one.
That spiked a huge debate, and even the mayor of London reacted and said that they should be removed and that we should not address homeless people in this way. Generally, the debate was about the way we treat homelessness, and is that something that we just want to remove from a particular space, or is it something that we should somehow structurally address?
Spikes to stop people from sitting or lying down evoked a wide variety of reactions from the public.
The first time I saw someone lying here, a homeless couple actually, I didn't like it because I didn't like having to walk by them. That sounds very selfish. So when I saw those studs, I thought, good idea.
So a lot of people are bothered by the presence of homeless people, but some are also alarmed by just how aggressive the spikes are.
It almost looks harmful. You know, if you lie on those, you're going to get spiked. And so it sends that message, which I think is wrong.
It's worth saying that these spikes are not just in England. We have them in the U.S. too. Outside of our office is a window ledge where you naturally want to sit. And sure enough, there are these black metal doorknob-looking things that keep anyone from resting there. And one thing that makes these spikes and similar features especially frustrating is that they're just there. They're not moving. There's no arguing with them.
You know, if you have a policeman who prohibits people from sleeping in a park, I think there is still some possible negotiation. And I think that's good. That's what society is about, the ongoing negotiation and ongoing change. But when we start using things that are immutable and unchangeable, like metal spikes, there is nothing that is going to change until they rust. I think that's the most important criteria for calling something unpleasant design.
In the Unpleasant Design book, they also point out benches that are mounted so high that your feet can't touch the ground, and therefore they're uncomfortable after a short period of time. And they document an increased prevalence of leaning supports at bus stops that you can rest against while standing, but they do not accommodate sitting or sleeping. But the object that Selena considers the masterpiece of unpleasant design is the Camden bench.
Basically, it is a design solution to 22, I think, antisocial behavior problems. The only thing it does not deter is sitting.
The Camden bench, so named because it was commissioned by Camden London Borough Council, is a strange, angular, sculpted, solid lump of concrete with rounded edges and slopes in unexpected places. A critic on Medium named Frank Swain called it the perfect anti-object. Anti-drug dealing because there are no slots or crevices in which to hide drugs. Anti-sleeping because the shape makes it uncomfortable to sleep on. Anti-skateboard because the edges on the bench fluctuate in height, making grinding difficult. Anti-theft because the recesses near the ground allow people to store bags behind their legs and away from would-be criminals. Anti-graffiti because it has a special coating to repel paint. And all those goals are pretty noble, except for sleeping and skateboarding. I don't really want the other activities happening in public spaces I go to either. But Selena Savic finds this litany of anti-measures demoralizing.
It discourages 22 things. It encourages two: sitting and sitting together. When we expect people to do bad things to the bench, before we think of anything good that people might do to this bench, I think that's a very sad approach to public space.
There is always an aspect of coercion to design. Design is used to get you to buy things, to use your iPhone in a certain way, sometimes without you even being aware of it. And these pieces of hostile and unpleasant architecture are no different.
Design is something that is supposed to transmit a certain use of this object. Otherwise, it would have not been designed. However, I think it is very problematic when we start excluding people by design.
The reason we need a critical theory of unpleasant design is so we can recognize the coercion that is taking place in our public spaces. We need to know when we're replacing human interaction and nuance and empathy with hard, physical, non-negotiable solutions. 99% Invisible is Delaney Hall, Kurt Kohlstedt, Katie Mingle, Sharif Youssef, Avery Truffleman, Emmett Fitzgerald, Taryn Mazza, Sean Rial, and me, Roman Mars. Edited for radio by Vika Aronson. We are a project of 91.7 KALW and Radiotopia. Find out more at 99pi.org.